Cool. I've got to try and get into the head of Melbourne Marathon swimming superstar Chloe McArdle, who set a new record for swimming the English Channel, which is 34 kilometre stroll in the English Channel. She's done it for the 44th time, Wisp, if you don't mind. That is extraordinary. She joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Chloe.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I can't imagine what it would be like to jump into the English Channel and swim. On this occasion, took you just over 10 hours, I reckon. What's the motivation for doing this?
Well, when I was 19, I decided I wanted to be the best in the world at something, and I had a background as a teenager, as a competitive pool swimmer. And so I tried a few sports, elite triathlon. I was terrible at that. I got out in front for the swim leg and then the bike and the run, everything went downhill. Then I ran a marathon, the pretty good time, 3 hours 37. Swam the marathon. Wow. I was like, this is it. This is the sport I can excel at. And I also had this incredible, amazing connection to the environment, the open water. And I really felt like I found a sport that could propel me to greatness.
44. Was this one of the easiest crossings for you? 10 hours, 1 minute?
The conditions were definitely above average. They were definitely favourable. But in saying that, like, I did have swell for 4 to 5 hours, the chop was about 1 metre, so it was a bit, like, messy during that. But there was nothing that was going to dampen my spirit yesterday my time. It doesn't matter if there were 3 metre waves, I was still even smiling all the way to France.
I don't like getting out there in the sea. I see a little shadow lurking and I get a little bit frightened about what it may or may not be. Does that ever concern you when you're out there swimming?
Not really. I understand where you're coming from. You know, I totally get that. A lot of open water swimmers scream if seaweed touches them. So, you know, that's a common thing. You're in good company. I mean, I've done the longest non-stop ocean swim in the Bahamas. So I swam through 2 nights where I knew that there were deadly sharks just cruising around. And, you know, I was just hoping that when my limbs went through the water that they would still be there when I finished my arm stroke. So, I'm not particularly scared of sharks. I don't think they hunt humans. I think whatever shark attacks do happen, they're accidental. And I'm happy to take my chances.
Hey, Chloe, you now got the world record of 44 crossings. Has the thought crossed your mind that maybe you just stay over there, do another 5 or 6 and just make it sort of a lot more difficult for anyone ever to break the record again?
Well, yeah, but I'm telling everyone I'm retiring and most people are not believing me. I guess when you do something 44 times, people think you'll just keep doing it indefinitely. But there has to be an end point, right? So I've just got to the point where I'm like, well, you know, I want to have more of a life. I have terrible work-life balance. I'm in England 3 months of the year. You know, I'm leaving everything in Australia and I travel by myself because I'm on a tiny budget. And, you know, it's really hard. So, no, I don't have any plans. 3 people behind me are all retired and haven't swum in 15 years, the English Channel. And there's no one close coming up behind me. So that the next closest person who actively swims in the English Channel is about 20 crossings of the channel.
You've done it 7 times on the crossing this year in pursuit of this record. And I don't want to pry, but I mean, it would be a costly exercise, Chloe, would it not, to put all this together? And as you say, you've stayed over there for 3 months. So how does that all work?
Yeah, it's phenomenally expensive. And my sport is not recognised by Swimming Australia, which means that not only do I get no scholarship, no funding, you know, no sports science, because what I do really pushes the boundaries. I would really need sports science to be able to perform at my best. And I feel like I haven't got the career I could have had because there's just so much resources I have never had access to that really could have supported me more. So that's been financially extremely difficult and very taxing. But I have a few sponsors that are really good to me, like David Paradise, for example, a local company, Local, based out of Marrickville in Sydney, and they've been really good to me. So, and a lot of everyday people will help me where they can. They may hit me here, I need help, and you know, they'll send me $200. Like a swimming club got together, pitched $200 together and sent it to me. I'm like, thanks, guys, you're awesome. So, you know, if there's enough willpower, things can happen.
Hey, Chloe, what do you reckon makes a great marathon swimmer or somebody that pursues something like you've pursued?
I think marathon swimming by definition is a pioneering activity in the open water. To me, it's not about racing around in circles. It was inducted into the Olympic program a few cycles ago. So officially it's a sport, but what they did was, in my mind, they just reduced the quality and value of marathon swimming. So a marathon used to be considered either 16 kilometres or 25 kilometres at minimum. So the marathon event in the Olympics is 10 kilometres, for example. So it's just really fast pool swimmers that have converted to open water and they swim around four laps and then, you know, they're done, that's 10 kilometres done. But traditionally, marathon swimming was all about pushing the boundaries. So they used to say in the 1800s, no person would ever swim the English Channel. Like, it's just not possible. And then the first man did it in 1875. And then they said, no woman has the constitution to ever do this crossing. And then the first woman crossed it in 1926 and beat all the men by 2 hours. And so I guess it's part of that that draws me to sport or keeps inspiring me to stay in the sport is that, you know, you can be a pioneer in this sport and push the boundaries and then also push the boundaries of what's possible for the human body and human mind. And to me, that's been part of my journey. Like, I love being competitive and setting records, but that experience of, you know, going through that journey and what it takes to get to the next level and what it takes to push the boundaries is just, for me, really fascinating. And I think that's the spirit of marathon swimming.
Talking to Chloe McArdle, who set a new record for swimming the English Channel after completing her 44th crossing on Wednesday. How busy does it get out there? How many people were crossing the channel, in the last week? Was there anybody out there at all?
I think there were three others on the day I swam, the 44th, yesterday. I swam my 43rd crossing 1 week earlier only, and there was no one else out that day. It was a horrific day. And I got a chest infection the very next day. So that was one of the worst swims I've done. We're now in mid-autumn, so very few people want to swim the English Channel. The air temps are very cold, especially at night and early in the morning. The weather is even more fickle than normal. And the water temperature is dropping very quickly. I mean, it's always low here, but it's dropping to quite low. So at this time of year in October, it's not a common thing for swimmers to be crossing the channel.
What's that stuff you lather all over yourself, Chloe? Is that to keep you warm?
It's called channel grease. So that's a mixture of pure lanolin, which is a byproduct of the wool industry, and Vaseline. And traditionally, people thought, just as you're saying, that, you know, it can help with heat retention and et cetera, et cetera. But there's never been any science to back that up. So I still use a bit of that in the areas that I chafe. But if you can consider swimming, for example, I'll do 36,000 arm strokes just across the English Channel once. So all those rotation and friction points. Then you add water, which increases friction. And then you add seawater, which is salty. So, you know, like, that's very, there's a lot of pressure on your body. So I use it, but it's purely to prevent, basically, gouges coming out of my skin from rotation. Mm.
Well, that's good to know, because Tim lathered himself up to go to the local pool because he doesn't like the water that cold. So you can stop doing that now, Tim. And what about when you're in the water for 10 hours? Talk us through some of the practicalities of eating and hydrating and all that sort of stuff. Can you tell us what you eat, what you drink, how many times you stop for a little food stop?
Yes. So it's really hard to swim in the English Channel to even get an opportunity. Over the years, they book usually two or three years in advance. The reason is it's tightly controlled. Only 12 boats are allowed out on any one day. Most days are not considered swimmable, so there's very few swimming days and very few opportunities to swim. You got to book your slot first when you get a boat and a boat captain. So you have this boat ready to go when you're ready to swim, and on that boat you've got two boat captains, a sports official we call an observer. So they count stroke rate every hour. They check for hypothermia, which is a serious potential issue that swimmers may get. It's been deadly. I've been put into ICU in Canterbury in England because of that condition. So it's really important. And then you have the people in your boat to feed, support, motivate you. And they're the ones that mix your feeds together. So by feeds, I mean liquids or solids, whatever you want as a swimmer to sustain you as you're swimming along the English Channel. And I prefer liquid feeds because the energy is more readily available if it comes in liquid form. But occasionally I might have half the comfort or something as I'm swimming along the channel. So those feeds happen every 30 minutes. I try and make them quite quick, 20, 30 seconds, because we get pushed so much by the tide. If I'm there for a minute or two having a joke and a laugh, it actually changes my position unfavourably and then extends the course of my channel so I know I'm wants to swim any longer than I have to in the channel.
Chloe, just
the feeding side of it.
Oh, sorry, keep going, yeah.
Yeah, feeding side of it. some interesting other things is we usually start at night in the dark. So often I'm swimming 6-8 hours through the dark into the sunrise. The sunrise in the Inks Tunnel is absolutely a sight to behold. It's incredible. We swim through the two biggest shipping lanes in the world. They go in opposite directions. So we have to give way to the cargo ships, the tankers, because they need up to a kilometre to come to a complete stop. So they're not manoeuvrable. So we weave through those shipping lanes. We also weave through the Dover Calais Ferry Strait, which is going over the top of those shipping lanes. And obviously, they have right of way as well. So, I mean, yeah, there's lots of things I could talk all day about the English Channel. I'm sure there's other things you want to talk about on your show.
Hey, Chloe, we've got to move on. But before we go, what's the first thing you're looking forward to doing now? What do you think you're going to do now?
I'm really loving keynote speaking. It's something I've been doing for quite a few years. So I love getting into businesses and schools and sharing my journey and inspiring others. So when I get back to Australia, I'm already lighting up quite a bit of that for the end of this year and next year. So, yeah.
Well, Chloe, you've inspired our audience. People, we get real-time feedback and they're loving your story. I've got people saying they want to donate to your cause. So if you can leave your details with our producer, and we'll put it on all our social pages. And I know there's a lot of people that want to support what you're doing, and I think they'd love to book you as a speaker. You've been outstanding this morning. So thanks for giving us some time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Chloe McArdle there, here for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range, which has landed.